So I hope you've been enjoying this series on knowing God. We're a couple of weeks in now. If you didn't know much about God before, hopefully this has been a great opportunity for you to get to know a bit more about your Creator, the one who made you, whether you believe it or not. And if you knew a lot of this stuff before, perhaps, well, hopefully it's helped you to understand more about who this God is that you say that you worship. Hopefully it has deepened the love of God that you know that you have and what He has done for you. So far we've looked at God the Creator. We've looked at how this wonderful God created us out of nothing and how everything around us actually declares the glory of God. Then we looked at God with us, how this is not a distant God who doesn't want anything to do with us, but rather how He dwells with us and how He sent His Son to be amongst us. We looked at God being holy. We learnt about how God was so magnificent, how big He was, and how we as humans cannot actually be in His presence. And then the next step, we learn about God providing, and in particular, how He provided a Saviour so that we can now be in the presence of God. So tonight, we're looking at faithfulness. The Bible says that God is faithful, but what does that mean? So we're going to look at specifically what the Bible says about that and learn about why you can trust God and why He's really the only one that you can trust. So we're going to read a passage today. We're going to be reading a passage from Lamentations. So Ken, if you come on to Everton Park in the morning, Ken actually preached on this in the morning a little while back in Lamentations. The other Ken, not this Ken, who's sick, so unfortunately. So just to give some context here, this book, Israel has the nation of God's people, they're sort of being punished there, and Jeremiah here is going through and he's just talking a sort of bit about how he's feeling about it all and how what's happening. And you see a bit earlier he's sort of saying, you know, my soul still remembers and sinks within me. He's sort of saying he's feeling very destitute and down. And then he sort of changes a bit and then he says, you know, all these feelings, these negative feelings, you know, this attempting to forget God and this sort of thing. And then he says, but then, you know, I recall this. He says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. He says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. He's talking to God there. He says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and be full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though He causes grief, yet He will show compassion, according to the multitude of His mercies. For He does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. I think we all know a lot about faithfulness. Actually, I'm going to say it a different way. I think we all know a lot about unfaithfulness. Let's see. I don't want to presume too much. Has anyone ever had anyone break a promise? Okay, so some of us know a little bit. Has anyone ever had someone say that they'd do something or be somewhere and they just didn't show up, no reason? Yep, okay. All right, we got that one as well. Has anyone ever said they would support you in something? They said, I got you back 100%. Then when it came down to it, they bailed and just they weren't there for you. Yep, okay, we had that one as well. I think we've all experienced, well, I know we've all experienced people breaking their promises. We've all experienced people not doing what they told us they were going to do, what they said, no, 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 trust me, I'll be there, I'll do that thing, you can trust me, and then they don't. Now, interestingly, this almost becomes a part of our daily life. This is not just like a rare occurrence, this is actually something that happens a lot. You know, I mean, think about it. We actually have things like contracts because we don't expect people to actually honour their word. All right, you know, they need a legally binding contract just to prove that they're going to do what they say they're going to do. In business, it's further than prudent. It's often expected that people aren't going to sort of finish a job. They're not going to do what they say. So we often have things like installment plans or progress payments so that when they inevitably don't actually finish the job properly, we don't have to pay them the full amount, right? This is part of business. When I used to work for a big phone company, one of the biggest things we tried to do was lock people into contracts because no one would ever stay with you for a length of time. Even if you gave great service, you know, they said, I'm going to stay for a while. Can you cut me a deal? Sure, we'll do your deal, and then 2 months later somewhere else. You know, you could offer them a great deal, but everyone always looked for a way out. We used to have a whole department about, 10 or 15 people that were purely there to answer all the people saying, how do I get out of my contract? People sign prenuptial agreements because they expect their partner to be unfaithful, or at least they expect that when people say for life, I don't really mean it. So you've got to protect your assets, you've got to protect all your stuff. You don't want them when they inevitably change their mind on till death do us part, you don't want them to clean us out, right? This might be a bit controversial, but even in the church, it takes something like church membership where people have to take vows for us to be part of a church community, because in our hearts we just don't commit to things. I remember having a discussion with someone where they said, really, we look at church membership and it's necessary because how can we do things like encouraging people to change their lives or discipline where needed when people just go, oh, stuff, I'm going somewhere else. You know, people don't commit to things these days, right? People's word when they say, this is a part of a community I am, they don't commit. So we have these vows because people won't commit. So even in the church, there's people who would like to think of themselves as has changed people, and the Bible tells us to say our yes is our yes, our no is our no. We still really have to have things like church membership because we can't even trust ourselves there. So we actually build our whole society around unfaithfulness. And probably one of the biggest areas we see this is actually marriage. All right, here are some quotes I read on a study from infidelity or marital unfaithfulness that was taken in 2010. I laughed initially and I was like, hang on, this is not really funny. This is pretty sad. These people went around and they asked some people, what they thought about cheating on their partner and this sort of thing. So the names here are just random names that they're not, relation to anyone else. I changed one of them because they had my name, so I just put a random name there. So Nick doesn't think kissing counts as cheating, especially if both of the parties are already in a relationship. That's a lot equal power, and if they're a bit drunk. And Steph says it doesn't count if it's with a celebrity. Chris wants to leave his long-term girlfriend for the woman he met before Christmas, the woman he's since begun to think of as the true love of his life. They haven't had sex because they've agreed that having an affair is not a stable way to begin a new and committed relationship. Because it isn't an affair, says Chris, it's just that we're in love. Graham recently downgraded his extramarital affair from a physical relationship to an intensely emotional engagement conducted entirely by text. He thinks that this is best for his marriage. Right? This one's my favourite. Elizabeth, on the other hand, is delighted to discover that a very physical affair with a younger man has cheered her up so much that she finds herself being much nicer to her boyfriend and children. I had the perfect affair, she likes to tell close friends. Top it off. It was so much better than the one she had 3 years ago. And Jim is actively looking for a mistress. I'm recruiting, he says. He has no intention of leaving his wife. He doesn't want to try dating sites designed for people seeking illicit affairs. Some of his friends have done just that, but Jim thinks they're for amateurs. He wants to do it the old-fashioned way. Infidelity is a part of our society today. Some statistics say that between 30 and 60% of people in a marriage, this is in the United States, will be unfaithful to their spouse at some point. 30 to 60%. I know it's a wide range, but even if it's 30%, that's a lot. This is not a rare occurrence, but a standard part of our society. And even sadder, as you heard from some of the quotes I just said, this is people don't even think it's wrong. It's, I think many years ago people would acknowledge that it's wrong, but it just caught me at the wrong moment, and you don't know what it's like at home. But now they just go, no, it's okay. I mean, as long as it's with a celebrity, it's okay. This sort of thing. So unfaithfulness is just a part of life now. I don't know about you, but that's all pretty depressing. I think it's these sort of things that really make you lose faith in humanity around you. I mean, is there no one that can be trusted? Is there not anyone that will keep their word? I mean, if you're single and looking for a partner, I mean, is there anyone who will stay faithful to you? You know, is there anyone who's actually going to do what they say they're going to do? God is faithful. God always keeps his word. He always keeps his promises. The book of Hebrews says, so God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge from the world, you know, we can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. We'll come back to what God promised shortly, but know that this God that we're inviting you to know better, this is a God who cannot lie. This is a God who is unchangeable. It is impossible for him to lie. It is against his very being to lie. And this is what it means when, you know, when we see the rest of the world around us and we just can't trust anyone, that we can hold to a hope that lies before us. And we're going to talk again about what that is. Because this is a God who does not lie, and as we'll see, is completely painted throughout Scripture where he fulfills his promises again and again and again and again, and he never once has not come through on what he's promised. In this passage we read tonight, this, as I mentioned earlier, Israel had been devastated for rejecting the Lord. They had disobeyed him, they had completely turned away from him. As Jeremiah, who wrote that book Lamentations, was thinking about the devastation and the hopelessness of his nation and the situation they're in, you know, he says, you know, my soul still remembers and sinks within me. But then you see something change, and he says, this I recall in my mind. You know, this is a thing that, you know, therefore I have hope. He says, I remember that through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. All right, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. So throughout all the hopelessness, he could turn around and say that God is faithful. He could say that God's mercies are new every morning. He could see the way that God was looking after them, providing for them, even though they had brought so much devastation upon themselves and they had disobeyed God at every opportunity. And one of the greatest promises that God has fulfilled is this one. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and we shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. We looked at what that meant a couple of weeks ago, but this is actually how we know God is faithful. All right? After Adam sinned in the very beginning, there was no way that we could be right with God. Okay, we had brought devastation upon ourselves, and there was nothing that could bring us back to God. There was nothing we could do to repair the damage that we'd done. So God promised to send us a Savior right here. He said he would literally be dwelling with man. Emmanuel, that word means God with us. And this is how we know that God is faithful. He has provided a way that we can have a relationship with him again. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, one of the big qualities of faithfulness, and this might not be one you've thought about before, it's really clicked when I was thinking about this in preparation for this, that faithfulness is not actually dependent, like true faithfulness is not dependent on the other party. Right? It's not dependent on somebody else. So we use phrases like, well, if they show up, then I'll show up. You know, if they don't, well, I'm not coming. All right? If they don't keep up their end of the bargain, well, I'm not going to either. If they're unfaithful to me, well, I'll be unfaithful to them back. Okay? So they're used to, even if we didn't have an intention to be unfaithful, if they're not going to be faithful, well, I'm sure is not going to be faithful. All right? I'm not going to do that. You know, we never stand up and keep up our side of the bargain. So interestingly, God, as someone who is faithful, he is faithful to us even when we are not faithful to him. This is the most incredible thing of all. No one expects people to keep promises when the other person has broken their side of the bargain, right? That's, you know, just a thing of today. Well, that person didn't do it. Well, of course they're not going to keep up their side of the bargain. So God said to Adam and Eve in the garden right in the beginning, he said, you can eat whatever you want in the garden except one fruit. Now, if they kept their end of the bargain, they would live forever with the God who created them. They would have everything they need. They'd be living in harmony with God. But when they saw the fruit would make them like God, well, they disobeyed him. Now, using the world's thinking, no one would expect God to keep up his side of the bargain. They'd say, okay, well, fine. You know, all I did was give you one thing. You know, I gave you one rule and you can have everything. Okay, you have eternal life, live with me forever, have joy praising me forever. If they don't keep up the bargain, you know, it would seem fair that God would say, all right, well, fine. I won't do either. Okay? But he didn't. This is a God who kept up his side of the bargain. It says, but God demonstrated his own love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Right? So you see here, he didn't say, okay, well, you know what? You do this, then I will, you know, then I'll do my, you know, he didn't play the bargaining game like we do. Okay, well, you might not have kept your first thing, but you know what? Let's do an installment plan. You pay a bit, then I'll do a bit of work, and you know, this bargaining thing. No, he says, while we were still sinners, he sent Christ to die for us. While we were still disobeying God, while we were still unfaithful to him, he was being faithful to us. This is the ultimate test of faithfulness. This is why God is faithful. This is why God can be trusted. He offers a way for us to live forever in a relationship with our Creator, to forgive our sins, to forgive the things that we've done in disobeying God, despite the fact that we reject him at every opportunity and that we actively live lives opposed to him again. I'm going to say that again because I see Anthony sleeping up in the back there, right? This is why God is faithful. This is why God can be trusted. He offers a way for us to live forever in relationship with our Creator, to forgive our sins, despite the fact that we reject him at every opportunity and that we actively live lives opposed to him. So what about you? Are you sick of the unfaithfulness around you? Have you given up on people? Is there no one that you can trust in this world? There is a faithful God who is waiting for you. There is a God who sent his son, Jesus, to die for you. And he did all of this even while you were living your life ignoring him. I want to say that don't presume on his generosity too much. Life can end at any moment. This gift, this gracious promise, it's there for you now, but you don't know when you will die. You don't know when your life will end. So I plead with you to accept his free gift before you pass away, because at that point there is no more chances. Because for those who don't believe, there is eternity in hell and separation apart from God because you ignored him and wouldn't accept his free gift. For those of you who have accepted Jesus' gift, perhaps you're having a rough time at the moment. Perhaps you're angry with God. Perhaps there are things happening in your life that you secretly blame God for, things that you think are just unfair. God is faithful. He loves you no matter what. Like Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. So this morning and this night, turn back to him. He will give you peace and he will be there and his compassions fail not. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that when we can't trust anyone else around us, when We see the unfaithfulness everywhere we look, that you are faithful, that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. We thank you that as we actively disobey you, that you are working out a way for us to come and be one with you again, to come and have a relationship with our Creator. I pray for any here who do not know you yet, and I just ask that you would change their heart and they would come to believe in you and confess with their mouth that Lord Jesus and that you've raised from the dead. God, we just think of how hard it is when people are unfaithful to us, and we also ask that you would help us to forgive those people and think of the faithfulness that you have and remind us of the goodness that you are in everything. In Jesus' name, amen.